I told her we'd still be friends.
Then we made our true love vow.
Wonder what she's doing now. Summer dreams ripped at seams. But the
I thought a little bit of grease might get us all greased up and all ready for the summertime. So in case you don't have someone out there who can lube you up and oil you down on the beach, or maybe in other different places, we're going to be chatting all about that tonight. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And I am very excited about summer. The sun just kind of snuck itself out today after a day of hiding, as one of our listeners emailed me. She said, it looks like the sun is playing hide and seek, which can be very entertaining and very fun. And my guest is having a little giggle on that right now, because she knows I'm flirting with all of you listeners out there.
And looking so good, too.
Well, thank you so much. I have, in case you're wondering who that mysterious voice is, I've got Ms. Sherrison Kaiser back on the show. Ms. Sherrison was on our show, how long ago now?
Half a year ago, Caroline?
About half a year ago, 6 full months ago. And it's great to have her back. She is transgendered, from going from male to female. And it's really exciting to have her back on the show. We're going to be touching base in terms of her process and what she's learning, but a little bit more hot stuff, because we've been talking a lot in the last few weeks about survival sex work and a lot of heavier stuff. So we want this show to be a little bit more fun. So we're going to be chatting about outdoor sex.
Yum,
don't you just love the way I put that? And as well as that, we're also going to be talking about how you can make summer so much more fun. A little bit of summer loving and all that. So, Sherrison, darling, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Caroline.
It's really great to have you. So tell us a little bit about summer. How have you been enjoying it so far?
Oh, I love the outdoor, and from our bedroom, the sun shines in, and I took out the screen in the window, and I can get a total tan every day when the sun is shining.
Really?
And so it's my first summer for a while without any lines.
Oh, so you don't even have to go all the way down to Wreck Beach to get
well,
that. You don't
have
to leave home.
My body's in transition, and I've had 120 hours electrolysis. And I've come a long ways, baby, from being able to grow a Einstein mustache and a full Bushman beard to hardly any sprouts. Hardly any, like you can see.
You look great.
And take a look at my arms.
Oh.
I had total waxing, and I'm going to be baby smooth skin.
Baby smooth skin.
And so summer, and I've always been a sun worshiper and enjoyed the tan and the sweat, and I cycle every day. And this morning, as I was cycling, loving the sun, I was feeling, I feel so beautiful as a girl.
That's awesome. I like that. It's very
and so when you asked me, I've had that feeling all day. I am so fortunate to have finally come out of my conditioning closet and finally enjoying life with the right shoe size kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an 8.5 female, not a 7 male.
Well, I think we're going to be chatting about it. I think we might actually have a caller. Shall we take this call?
Sure.
And see if it actually has something to do with our show.
I wonder if it's my girlfriend, who I fell in love with last summer.
CITR, you are on air right now on Sexy in Van City Radio. Who may I ask is calling?
Hi, it's Dan. Hi, I was supposed to call in with Val an hour ago, and I missed the time.
Oh, so are you going to tell us what Mr. Dan, who should have been on Val's show, are you going to be telling us about where you like having sex and where your favorite place is to have sex outside? This is
I mean, to be completely honest, I wasn't even listening. I didn't know that this was the topic. But
so, to you tell know. Us, indulge us, Mr. Dan.
I don't know.
I'm sure you do know, but do you care to share? Is the question?
I think one time on a playground slide in the middle of the night at a park.
All right.
That was pretty good.
And what would you recommend for anybody who is going to be picking up people and having sex outdoors? What are your recommendations?
Bring something soft to lie on.
All right. And you got to be careful with that if you're on the slide, don't you?
True, exactly.
You might slide right off and crack your head.
Yeah, exactly. All right, enjoy the rest of the show. I got to run. Sorry.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Wow. A little bit of extra advice from Dan, who should have called in during Val's show. Which is neat. I wasn't expecting a phone interview, but this is kind of exciting.
Surprise.
It's peekaboo. Which, on that note, Ms. Sherrison, what has been one of your favorite experiences outside of the bedroom? Now it's sounding like with your suntanning and stuff, you could totally indulge within.
Well, I was in a park. And the park had a hollow tree, and my girlfriend and I, she was showing me, she loved that park, and so she says, come on in, and we could see the kids playing in the playground, and the parents, and the park people all around us, and we had our feet braced. It was kind of a well-notched hollow tree, and we both stripped below the waist.
And I love how you run your hands along the side of your body as you describe that.
We both stripped below the waist and made love with poker faces because I didn't want to get in trouble. I grew up really ultra conservative. And it's taken decades to let go of my severe conservative conditioning.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
That was the funnest outdoor sex encounter.
Nice. That's awesome. And you've got a girlfriend now, so things have evolved a little bit.
Oh, yeah. There's it kind of snuck up on me. I took a liking to her, and we met, it was May.
So you had her actually as your girlfriend when you were on the show before, and you didn't tell me, and you flirted with me, and
again,
that broke my heart.
Things started gradually, I took a liking to her right away, and then it just snuck up on me more and more, and I felt myself falling more and more hopelessly in love, and in October, middle of October, it reached a night and day inner awakening, like I would even say a spiritual awakening. I learned to love myself deeper. She mirrored in me who I am. We're soulmate twins.
That's
twin
great.
Sisters.
I'm trying to get Val on the air here as well, because I want to ask Val. She's never on my show. I'm always on your show.
And speaking of outdoors, yes.
We're talking about outdoor sex, and we're just wondering if you care to share anything with our listeners. Dan, who's supposed to be on your show, did share about having sex on a slide. Sherrison's shared about having sex in a tree. And we're wondering if, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but...
The first one that comes to mind, I think it was in a park somewhere in Steveston, actually, just off the path in the long grass, pretty close to the people, pretty darn close. But that's the first one that comes to mind.
Nice.
But I'm all for it. I'm a big supporter of that. But you need to be discreet, though. It's like I can understand the whole thrill of it all, but
Well, there's a personality factor.
Yes.
People who are introvert may have a harder time dealing with the attention risk factor, but the extrovert, and especially exhibitionist, joys.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things that is a lot of fun either way. So as long as you don't get caught. And the trick is, if you're a girl, you can get away with wearing a little short skirt and no panties underneath. So you can take your pleasure whenever, however.
My girlfriend is a real tease.
Ah, so are you saying that, Sherrison, that you have a lot of outdoor sex?
Not at this point.
Okay.
But sexuality begins in such subtle ways, and it's like the iceberg. 9/10 of it is below the surface, and she just turns me on.
Well, that's great. And what do you mean by below the surface? Are you talking in terms of its intellectual?
Tone of voice,
yeah.
Body mannerisms, walking, doing something
together. So my cardio striptease classes are a benefit to society, is what you're saying,
totally,
because we
totally.
Can actually benefit men and women for these things. Just clarifying that. I just had to hear it. So, while I've got Val on the air and Sherrison as well, I'm going to ask you guys each one more question.
Mm-hmm.
What is your recommendation in terms of having fun sex outside? I'm going to ask each of you that.
Lots of sunscreen. if you're going to go for it, actually, or a big shady tree.
Okay.
Big shady tree, blanket. Ground cover if you're going to be horizontal. If you're going to be vertical, then, you know, have at her. But watch out for insects.
Especially certain parts of your anatomy, yes.
Well, exactly. It's a little more difficult to control your area than if you're indoors in a nice, you know, air-conditioned bedroom and it's clean and there's no surprises. You can get some surprises if the nasty variety outdoors are found.
That's true.
Or nastier.
And you listeners out there, I totally advocate for sunscreen, but I do want to add, just to be careful, make sure you don't use it as a lubricant.
Oh, no.
It could burn and not feel particularly comfortable in certain parts of your anatomy. Thank you so much, Val. That was awesome.
The other thing,
and Sherrison,
if it's hot out, you don't want to get dehydrated. So the fluids flow much, much freer.
Alliteration. Fluids flow much freer. So which fluids do you... Oh, actually, I think I know what you're talking about. But you can use that as... Unless you're into water play, which some people are into water play. That's not really my thing. I think you're referring
when
to
we
more
were
just
exercising
dehydrated.
Last summer at Oppenheimer.
Yes.
We imagined doing water sports. Or water...
swimming.
Yes.
Okay.
Splashing and...
Yeah, you were so darling. I meant actually water sports as in golden showers, as in urinating.
Oh.
That's why I kind of raised an eyebrow.
I grew
really?
Up very conservative, I must say. But many things have a turn on.
I have two different people, definitely. And no, I'm not saying that I'm into all that stuff. That's actually one of the taboo areas.
Well, I was raised European, even though ultra conservative. And now that I've let go, I'm discovering a wide, wonderful possibility.
And on that note, one of the things you did mention to me earlier was the fact that you might have a few tidbits for us, shall I say, in terms of arousal and how sexy that can be. So I think we're going to titillate, and I love that word, titillate, our listeners out there. So perhaps when we take a tiny little short break, we'll return and we will talk a little bit about that. We'll be right back.
Saturday, July 25th, CITR sponsors the 20th anniversary of Vancouver's favorite summer tradition, Illuminaires at Trout Lake Park. Bring your lantern and join the procession of glowing handmade lanterns, led by lively percussion as we circle the lake. Performances start at 6 p.m. Procession leaves at 9. A family fireworks display concludes the evening at 10:15 p.m. More information available at citr.ca and publicdreams.org.
And we are back on air. And so right before the break, I had to leave you with a little bit of a teaser, shall I say? And if you are joining us right now, you are listening to Sexy in Van City on 101.9 FM CITR. And I think Ms. Sherrison Kaiser was going to illuminate for us a little bit about arousal, the differences between male and female arousal. Let's just start with the basics. What exactly is arousal?
Well, it depends on what your biochemistry dominant is. Mm-hmm. Testosterone is your fight it, fuck it drug.
Fight it or fuck it drug.
Yeah.
Fight it and or fuck it drug.
It's
fight it or fuck it.
That's right. It's
you've got a lot of alliteration so going on.
And
there.
It's so powerful. They took docile, timid, loving, turn the other cheek ladies. And gave them the kind of testosterone levels that guys have to live with. And they became, overnight, competitive, driven, even cutthroat.
Ooh, and I love...
and so it's a burden, living under the shadow of testosterone.
Of testosterone.
And if you look at what my electrolysis told me, she's had to set the setting at the severest, highest level to burn out the roots.
The hair.
And so I grew up with severe levels of testosterone.
Okay, Ms. Sherrison, I have a question
to
ask. What does it have to do with arousal?
Yes. Well, all my life, I grew up so ultra-conservative, I learned to suppress, and I was a virgin until I'm 25.
Oh, wow.
So in doing that, the positive thing is that I learned extreme levels of self-control.
Okay.
I could last half an hour to an hour average.
Wow.
And I've never even once had bad sex. Because intuitively, I knew what a woman wanted because I'm a female energy inside.
Okay.
But with testosterone mechanics. Once I started the hormones and took the what's called spironolactone, mm-hmm. and symbolically, I'm going to take it right here because it's boy killer.
Are you actually putting that on right now?
It's in the pill form.
Really? So you're taking drugs in the studio. I don't know.
Well, it's hormones.
Okay, they're hormones.
Yeah.
And they're prescribed by your doctor, right?
That's right.
This isn't just something that you're buying.
And this kills the testosterone. It tricks the body to think it's got too much testosterone.
So what kind of drug is this?
It's spironolactone. It reduces the testosterone to the point and ends up shutting down totally the manufacture your balls.
Your balls?
It shuts them down.
Okay.
So that they can't produce sperm.
Really?
Yeah. And it's irreversible. Once it's like an egg, once it gets cooked, it can't get uncooked. So where it comes to arousal, I've lived under severe testosterone-based biorhythms.
Mm.
Or biochemistry, rather.
Biochemistry.
And as I took the spironolactone... And also the female arousal DHEA, I discovered that I needed to learn a whole new language of touch with myself. And this is...
Are we referring to masturbation or...
Yes, but also beyond masturbation, learning to touch my arms, my breasts, my face.
So almost a sense of sensuality.
Oh,
is that what you're referring
to? And I've always been a sensualist my whole life long.
Mm.
But once I lost the spironolactone in my body, once I lost the testosterone-based arousal in my body, simple rubbing did nothing. And the definition of a guy, a prick with a mind of its own, he can be reading the newspaper or studying whatever, and a little rub-a-dub-dub, and there's action. I found out that rub-a-dub did nothing to me. And it didn't bother me because I knew that this is a point of transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn, and it took a few months, to learn a whole new language of touch. And I discovered in my body why girlfriends and wives don't orgasm.
And why is that?
Well, first of all, you have to be there emotionally.
Emotionally or physically, like it present in your body when you say emotionally?
Well, by emotionally, your heart and your mind and your eyes and your attention needs to be totally on her. If you're thinking of someone else while mm-hmm. you're having sex, you're not there with her. And I never have thought about anyone else when I'm with a person. I've always practiced that, and that's why I've never had bad sex.
So, in other words, be present with somebody is the number one.
Yeah.
What else? Number two.
Follow her energy, her cues. Now, her language of arousal is different than yours if you're a guy. If you're lesbian, you know what she wants. So you've got an advantage.
Okay.
But if you're a guy, it's a night and day difference. And I had to learn a whole new language of touch with myself. Intuitively, I always practiced it with the ladies I was with.
Okay. So in other words, you started with getting to know yourself, playing the
totally.
Getting to know
and
your
just
game.
Being by myself and touching and following what feels good.
All right.
And I followed the cues and also it's no control. If a guy is controlling and has to be in control,
mm-hmm.
you know the odds that she's female arousal with what I've discovered in my body,
mm-hmm.
it's unpredictable. I don't know where the next sensation is going to come from. It's not linear. It's multidimensional. And this is why sex arousal begins hours before the bedroom.
I agree with you. It's all about anticipation, whether that be through sending little sexy notes to your partner during the day.
Is that what you're doing
to
right
build
now?
It up? I don't know.
It looks like...
You think
you're
I'm gonna send
something?
You think I'm gonna send sexy notes right now?
I think you are.
I suppose I could on Twitter. I can send that out to all our fans out there because I haven't been twittering lately. I've been a very naughty girl when it comes to twittering. But there's lots of different things we can be doing. Could be doing that. Could be emailing them, sending them little sexy little notes. I can send them. If you're careful, you can send them sexy photos of yourself. You can do all sorts of great things just to build that anticipation. It could even be the night before where you're talking about sexy things and all that. You never know. You never, never know. So that is something. So those of you out there who might want to think about what gets you off, I am going to suggest you do that, and perhaps you might want to email in at kitten@sexyandvancity.com. That's KITTYN at sexyandvancity.com during our break, or you can call us at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, because we are going to take a short break, because I think, as our dear friend DJ would say, I think we need a cold shower.
Pretty hot.
Boys. What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. And we are back. And if, in case you didn't hear that last little bit, you're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, and I've got the beautiful, the lovely, the talented Sherson Kaiser, who we've been talking about a little bit about arousal. And I was just playing a little bit of Boys, Boys, Boys by Sabrina, which Sherson and I were watching the video on YouTube while that was going on. We weren't quite sure if we saw nipple action or what.
I think I saw Arola.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Yeah. I thought it was very, very
I'd need to see a bigger version to see if it was the
So I'll have
too.
To blow it up and see. Perhaps or perhaps not. But you're getting all shy on me, aren't you, Ms. Sherrison?
Well, I No, yeah. No, I'm not shy.
Look at that. That's so adorable. I don't think I've ever seen that. So, any of you out there, you can Twitter us. I haven't checked my email yet to see if you Twittered or Facebooked about all your hotness that you want to do, all your outdoor fun stuff. So, before the break, we were talking about the differences between male and female arousal. And, Sherson, when you were talking in terms about having to get to know yourself in terms of just learning how to touch and figure out what you really like and getting in touch with the sense of sensuality. And the other thing that you were mentioning was it was really important to get in contact in terms of being really present and just being able to connect emotionally. So
yeah, being present.
Not
what
detaching.
I meant was emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got difficulty with your emotions,
mm-hmm.
That'll really get in the way of enjoying unabashed
partner.
Sex. Mm. There's been a number of times that just when I thought the foreplay and the arousal buildup was happening,
mm-hmm.
She bursts into tears. And I hold her for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And that was part of the... It was like a blockage that came out.
Mm.
And because I didn't judge her, because I was with her emotionally during that time, and I was present,
mm-hmm.
when she felt... whatever was blocking her was healing. Then what followed was such a beautiful spontaneity between the us together. Like we're sharing not only bodies, but emotions and energy.
Mm-hmm.
No, and the neat thing is when there's a synchronicity that happens, it becomes larger than life. And the arousal is out of this world.
So what would you recommend in terms of finding that arousal? So it's sounding like you said to start with yourself.
Well, yeah.
And then
I had read somewhere, and it makes a lot of sense. Learn to touch yourself and keep a sense of surprise. Don't make it monotonous and same routine. Discover the... discover the depths and limits of your edge. And living on the edge is a metaphor of, let's say, catching a wave, body surfing. And if you've ever thrown yourself into an energy wave, mm. you know how powerful it is.
Very powerful.
I'm getting goosebumps. Sexuality is like that. You throw yourself into the energy wave and you lose control. You don't try to control. You surrender yourself to something much bigger than yourself, like an ocean wave, which is what the biorhythms between people. I'm getting waves of goosebumps as I'm speaking. Are you feeling any?
I'm feeling good. I'm actually feeling very hot.
It is very, I feel like taking my clothes off.
Well, you could take your clothes off. There used to be a show called Naked Radio on here about 20 years ago.
Well, I'm happy if it's fine with you.
I'm just teasing, darling. You might turn me on way too much. So keep your clothing on. Thank you very much.
I love my body.
So in regards to, I just wanted to touch base with a couple of things. So everybody out there, if you're listening to this show and figuring out how do I touch in with my own arousal, how do I get involved in terms of for summer and give myself permission to have some fun? Well, A, if you do have a partner, A, make sure you talk to them. Start off with communication, both with yourself in terms of finding things that make you feel your sense of sensuality as well as sexuality. What makes you feel good? And be really honest with yourself in regards to that. So whether that be water sports, as we explained to Sherrison what that was earlier, or whether it be something that's a little bit more like you want flowers or chocolate, that kind of thing. So just be honest, or, you know, taking that rose from the flowers and running it all along each curve of your body. Whatever it may be, just finding that out. So that's number one. Number two, talking to your partner and letting them know some of the things that you like and be like, I really like this. I really like it when you do this.
The best way to do that is to show them, masturbate in front of them.
It's interesting and you say that, because I advised that actually. I had a coffee with somebody this weekend and he was absolutely horrified when I brought that up. I said, yeah, I think it's actually a very good idea for someone that as you're getting to know them, that you masturbate with them, mutual masturbation. It's a very sexy thing, number one. And two, they can actually see how you like being pleasured.
Yeah, like because there's so much to discover about the other person, seeing how they start and
where they go.
Where they go intense and where they go mellow.
Yeah.
And like it's a whole.
It is. One of the things he said
tapestry.
Was, he said that it's very uncomfortable sometimes, and I couldn't fathom the concept of masturbating. And I thought that was really sad, actually, because I think masturbation is a very healthy thing. And I pointed out to him, it's definitely one of the safest ways to have sex other than abstinence out there, as masturbation. And it can be quite lovely having mutual masturbation.
It's a real fun way to begin when there's fears about...
About touch.
About going to the next base.
Mm-hmm. I almost want to have Val on right now and ask her what she thinks about mutual masturbation. So I'm not sure. Oh, she's laughing. So, poor Val. She comes in just to return
unspoken.
Some CDs.
Just, I'm in a different frame of mind.
Oh, she says she's in a different frame of mind. Oh, she's saying, okay, we're going to get her on. I want to hear Miss Val's opinion.
They're going to go big, like they say.
Go big. Especially
go big and go home. Go big and go home. Are you talking about, speaking of big, were you speaking of big?
We were talking about here. Big in terms of mutual masturbation, what your take is on that.
Sure, it's great. It's great. What's not to like about it? Is there something specific? You're not like asking technical questions.
Technical questions. It's just a general opinion as to what
overall,
you thought.
I'm for it.
You're for it.
I'm absolutely.
And how far into the relationship do both of you think that you need to be before you indulge? Because it's definitely one of the safest forms of sex.
Oh, gosh. Don't the kids just do that and pretend that, you know, they're hooking up?
No.
It's kind of...
I don't think so. We used to do more of the dry humping, actually, and a lot of petting, a lot of fingering and stroking and just exploring that way, tasting,
but it's an intimacy. Yeah.
It definitely
to
is.
To let yourself
it
get
is.
To the threshold which proximates death.
Death
the T-mall.
And orgasm.
That's right.
Have so much in common because you lose yourself.
You lose control. That's why the French call it a little death. Mm. Actually is the word for it.
What a way to go.
Yeah, exactly.
See, So in terms of sex, ooh, I think I've lost my train of thought because I got kind of hot there.
You just had a little moment there, did you?
I did have a moment there. I know. Well, I don't have.
Actually, just the pointers.
Yes.
You can first watch your partners and their hands, and then when they're comfortable, you ask if you can put your hand on their hand, and they're doing the motions.
Mm.
Then you have them hold your hand and move your hand
up and down.
Up how they like to be touched.
It's yeah. a I
and,
think
and then you have. Then you masturbate them without them holding your hand. And so it goes gradually, one step at a time, to totally understanding what the other person likes.
Exactly. What a great way to learn.
I think that's a great way to learn. And you can actually take that from one of the things that Tanya Diamond, who is the Tantra teacher out of Seattle, that Julia and I, when we had Juice Box, used to recommend, is she recommended sitting cross-legged across from your partner on the floor. And you'd have your palms turned up, and you just match your breath patterns together, so you're really focused. And then from there, you take
that
your hand.
That is erotic.
With
she
tension.
Breathes out, and I breathe in.
And what you do is you'd actually gently touch your partner just on their forearm, however you like being touched, so they know exactly how much pressure you need for things, whether it be tying in little circles.
Oh, right.
Or whether it's just more of a flicking thing. And I think from
you're
there,
touching me.
I am stroking you.
and from, it's all legal.
It's exactly.
Well, there's a third person in the house supervising. We're chaperone.
No, we're having a threesome in our own strange way. The safest sex threesome possible.
Just to describe, it was from my wrist to 4 inches.
Yeah, and you could go right up to the elbow if you wanted to.
But that's where most of your nerve endings that were concentrated in that.
I didn't. Yeah,
part of the arm, the forearm, the inside wrist.
Right. Yeah. So I think with that, you could start with that, and then from there, do what Ms. Sherrison had recommended in terms of when she's putting her hand out for more. Give me more.
No, that's not like you're greedy.
Not yet. Well, the show's only over in about 20 minutes, so there you go, honey.
Well, a lot can happen.
Yes, it can. Although I don't want to lose my show privileges, which I have heard that there were people having sex in here a long time ago and got kicked off the show.
There is that urban legend floating about. I'm not sure if it's true or not. It may or may not be. I like to prefer think of it as an urban legend. Did they or didn't they?
I think it would be very interesting, but I would like if any listeners out there want to write a little sexy Twitter thing to us or want to email in a sexy fantasy about the booth. I don't know what kind of prize we'd have to give, but perhaps we'll read it out loud on the show. And better yet, perhaps we'll have you on so you can read it yourself.
Oh, there you go. Especially if Ms. Carolyn is particularly hot as she is tonight.
Oh, yes.
She's looking very lovely. You both are, actually.
Thank you.
I like that little top.
It's a bubble top.
Is that what they call them? Because I've seen a few of them around.
Now, if it was see-through, that would take it to the
bubble
next
wrap.
Level.
Yeah. Bubble wrap. My bubble wrap top. Pop, 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 pop.
And that could be a multitude of things. There are some people who have balloon fetishes, which with summer here, you could have all sorts of helium balloons and stick them all over your body. It's like, here, baby, pop me, pop me, pop me. Which, of course, if you are engaged in your virginity and trying to hang on to it, that might pop too.
Well, it's been lovely hanging with you, but I must run on and back to my homestead, but I shall be listening to the rest.
Mm. Thank you very much, Val. It was wonderful having you on the show.
Yes.
We'll have to do this more often. I quite like this. So, other thing I wanted to point out, because we've talked about the fact that we need to explain in terms of communication how we want to touch our partners, how they want to touch us. And then the next step from there is putting fantasy into action, which I think could be really hot. But I think we've just got the lovely Marion from Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour has just stepped into the studio. He's looking very demonstratively hot, as always. Speaking of hot people, and I think we might have to bring him on air. So, Marion, why don't you come sit down and tell us what your favorite time was having sex outside?
outside?
Yes. Come sit over here. We're going to have you on air.
Okay. Where are my headphones?
I don't have headphones there. You might just have to breathe into the mic.
Outside?
Yes.
Is the mic on?
It is on.
What's the question? You're killing me now.
What is your favorite time having sex outside?
I don't know if I ever had one.
You've never had sex outside?
Maybe a couple of times. Maybe. I don't remember. It wasn't really that remarkable, obviously.
And why wasn't it remarkable?
If I don't remember, just vaguely. For some reason, I don't know.
Okay.
I never found this place is just appropriate or something.
Outside?
Yeah.
So you prefer having in the sanctity of a bedroom or...
Not necessarily. But I mean, it's just... It never happened, probably. I mean, it did. I just don't remember when and how.
Well, memory is emotionally conditioned, and it may be that this was so special, it's been inwardly repressed.
Oh, now I remember. I know it was in Germany.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all
Sie it was. Kyle.
Sie Kyle, ja, da Hans von Klaus, eine ficken machen und eine sechs, ja. Yeah, that was kind of a... okay, it comes back to me now.
I love how the memories flood
yeah,
back.
Yeah, and it's just, there was like a short relationship, but it was pretty deep. Yeah, pretty deep, but the sex was kind of casual.
All right.
But I think that was it.
Okay, well, what would you say in terms of if you just did decide to have sex outside, what advice would you give to our listeners?
No, I don't have enough experience. I'm just one-timer, so basically, no. Just stay away from, the sharp objects, I guess. Like rugby or something.
Oh, that's true. You don't want to step on broken glass or sit on broken glass, because having broken glass in your ass...
really like sexy environment anyway.
Yeah, that could be very painful. Okay. Thank you very much.
I hope I could help.
No, I think that's very lovely. I am actually going to remind everybody that when you do decide to have sex outside, A, be careful you don't get arrested, and I don't want to be held liable for encouraging you to go and fuck outside and frolic and fuck wherever you want to fuck. So A, communicate with your partner. B, experience different ways. C, make sure you're indulging in safe sex. Either both of you have been tested and you've been in a long-term monogamous relationship. Or make sure you bring your condoms and a little bit of lube to slide inside that condom so it can be fun for both parties. And make sure, actually, you know what, even if you're not in a, even if you are in a monogamous relationship, that can be quite lovely too, because then you don't have the evidence running down your leg afterwards. So it's very important. You might want to bring some Kleenex as well.
Or you might like to lick it up.
I suppose so, but sometimes you need to fucking run. You never know, right? In terms of when you're going outside, you never know when somebody, if an authority figure may end up...
It would depend on how it's received. Like, I would invite them to come on in.
What if they're
like,
ugly?
Like, if you, what you're doing is something so beautiful and wholesome.
And why would you want somebody else to be involved with that then?
Well, no. You don't take their judgment or their okay. criminal accusation. Like, that's their downer. Mm. So you keep your own energy and you set the tone of what you're doing. You don't go down to their level and assume that you're doing something bad, because you're not. It's beautiful. Our culture is so anal and so repressed. It's fear-based. Now, that should be
something
criminal.
We should change.
Yeah, it should be a crime for a husband to leave his wife unorgasmed.
It'd be interesting if you ran for the government, Ms. Harrison.
Well, I'm overstating. I'm just saying that that's where the crime really is.
Wow.
It's not in expressing beauty and wholesomeness and acceptance.
So let me get this straight. You think it's the partner's responsibility?
Well, to encourage. Like, I've always wanted my partner to orgasm a number of times mm-hmm. before I orgasm.
Okay.
And I would synchronize my energy and her energy so that we would mutually orgasm as much as possible.
Okay.
And it's been quite high over my life. Mm-hmm. My life being since I'm 25. And even then I was quite shy and ultra conservative. Like, I've come a long ways, baby.
On that note, what I was going to ask, are any last words of advice that you might care to share with our listeners?
Well, we're alive. We're totally alive. And mm-hmm. we are, life is not linear. Life is not black and white. Life is color.
Life is.
And so there's, it would take more than a lifetime to discover the beauty and depth of one other person.
Hmm.
And so when you're with them, discover who they are. Enjoy them. Like, there's so... And beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and you need to deal with your own insecurities
mm-hmm.
Before you can see...
What?
Yeah, and the person who's insecure becomes controlling.
Mm-hmm.
So as you let go of your controls, you become... more secure.
Okay.
And then that's just one facet. We are multi-level, holographic, multi-dimensional, fractal entities.
And what does that mean?
Oh,
like 30 words or less.
Now this is what I've been cultivating over the last 20 years. When I was in the 70s, when I was in university, what was going on in my imagination, I finally saw 30 years later on TV. And this is I've never... This is the 22nd century quantum mind expressed. We're holographic entities.
Holographic.
Everything relates to everything else. And the more... openness you have and inclusiveness that you have, the clearer the picture. The more bridges you burn, the more percent of the picture you cut out, the less the clarity. Everything affects everything, and everything is sexual. Everything is creative. Everything is artistic. Everything is mathematical. Everything is a language.
Okay.
Like I've been to university 10 years. I thrived, and I my profs were the best of the best in their field.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm living right now is on the edge.
And the other thing I did want to just let everybody know, you listeners out there who haven't sent me a sexy story yet. I wanted to say that it's really important. One of the key...
May I share the sexiest story?
One really quick, because I do have to wrap up the show.
And this was as a teenager. My mom was in Holland during Hitler's overtake of the Netherlands. And one fantasy that I had is that I would see my girlfriend, we'd be naked in the gas chamber, and just when the poisonous gas would start to come out, we would lock lips and breathe into each other so that we would breathe in and out, so we'd both get the oxygen. Of course, we'd have to breathe slowly. And we would stay lock-lipped and not breathe any poison gas until the fresh air came in. And I found that super erotic and charging. That was one of my earliest fantasies that had originated just within myself.
Nice. Well, I think that wraps up our show. And... thank you so much for being on the show, Ms. Sherrison.
And the other thing I didn't say, just be yourself. Just be yourself and learn to enjoy the other person. Like we are alive. Like, mm-hmm. there's so much possibility.
There really is, and it's really important to give yourself an opportunity to explore. And one thing I did want to say, yes, be yourself. I want to recap that. But as well as that, don't make your responsibility your partner's. Don't make the orgasm your partner's responsibility. It's important to honor your partner, and it's also not fair to expect it from them either.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to clarify that.
I just did everything on my part so that
yeah.
Whatever she needed, it would happen.
Okay. That we can do. Well, up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour, and he's a very sexy man to be miserable with, which we may have to get him exploring having sex outside so we can have him back on the show and telling us a little bit more. And with that, perhaps we might have to have pictures of Ms. Sherrison because she wants pictures on the website.
Yeah, I just had the sexiest picture. It's real life. And
I'll have to wait till we get to to the computer to do that.
I'm clothed.
I'll have to see and see what we have to do. We might want to excite our listeners too much. But on that note, we will be back next week at the Sexy Hour of 10 o'clock. And if you want to check out a few things, tomorrow night I am hosting Girl Talk in the downtown east side at the Portland Hotel Society Life Skills Center at 412 East Cordova, starting at 6 o'clock. And doors are going to be opening at 5:45. I'm going to be having Caroline Blunt, who is one of the street nurses in the downtown east side. We'll be chatting about addiction, mental ill health, and sexually transmitted infections as well, and just some of the barriers that some of the women, especially in the survival sex work, actually do face. So if you want, you can come check that out tomorrow. Otherwise, I'm looking forward to chatting with you next week, a little bit of things we want to look out for in the next bit coming up next. Those blasphemous rumors from Depeche Mode. Thanks for listening.
Fighting back the tears, mother reads a note again.